All right, welcome back to another episode of Perfusion. Today we've got Angie Wisdom. Welcome, Angie.
Hi, thanks for having me, Andrew.
Hey, please tell our audience a little bit something about yourself and what you do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I am a master certified coach, best-selling author. I'm actually a co-founder of an alternative investment firm, wife of 26 years, mother of two great boys.
Okay. 26 years. You seem pretty young. You look.
Okay. Well, now I like you even more. Thank you.
What is an alternative investment firm? What is that? What does that mean?
We have an investment firm that trades commodities and futures.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard of that industry, but that's all over my head. So
nobody ever knows about it.
Commodities and futures. That's like, yeah, I don't even know if we should get into that.
I'll tell you, it's like Trading Places. It's Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. That's what it is. That's all you need to know.
I just remember they bet a dollar, right?
Yes, exactly. Over OJ futures.
What did they bet a dollar on again? Orange juice, was it?
Yeah, they bet a dollar that they couldn't take somebody who was like this high achieving, you know, investment and bring him down to the ground. And that was Dan Aykroyd. They bet a dollar on it. And it ruined some guy's life for a dollar.
Wait, he was high achieving or he was?
He was. Dan Aykroyd was like this well-known broker, you know, and it did all this business. And these two brothers that ran a lot of the markets bet a dollar that they couldn't like ruin his life and bring up somebody off the streets to replace him. And that's Eddie Murphy was the guy on the streets and they subbed him in. Yeah.
That's like, are you familiar with Jay Samet by any chance?
Yes.
Yeah, he kind of did that with sort of. He didn't ruin somebody's life. In his books, he brought somebody basically homeless off the street and said, I can teach anybody to make $1 million in a year. And he did.
Yes. Same concept, a little bit different. But yeah, I mean, it goes to show you what we can do with our mindset, right?
Exactly. And that's what we're here for, right? So I read your book. First of all, I love the personal development space, the self-growth space, self-help, but I don't really like that. Mm-hmm. I like personal development, I would call it. There's so few women in this space. Thank you for coming on, because they're actually very hard to get a hold of because they kind of go really high so fast, I feel like. So they're so hard to get a hold of. So I think I caught you on the way to the summit, right? But there's so few people in this space. And I read your book, The Non-Negotiable You. And I honestly wish you called it The Morning Mindset.
Oh, I can't believe you said that. I was going to call it that. And my publicist was like, no, you can't call it that. We need to do something different. I'm like, so that's so funny. I'm going to share that with him.
So that was because you talk about it in the first, you know, dozen pages of the book. I marked out my favorite line in here was, and I don't usually do that, but it's an interesting concept. And I was obsessed with morning routines for a while.
Yeah. Okay.
It was on page 20 and it said, you'll become more efficient when it's worth it for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my whole life can be based on that. Right.
Right.
All right. So tell us a little bit about your business. You're in business coaching, life coaching. Tell us about mindset. Give us some Angie Wisdom.
Okay. So I originally started in the investment industry back at Morgan Stanley Dean Witter years ago. And I was always an achiever. It was like goals, grinding, you run over who you need to run over to get done what you need to do. Like that was always my mentality. And I realized at a certain point that it was a little short-sighted, that there was a lack of fulfillment. There was a lack of joy and peace in my life, even though I was achieving greatness. So I went down this personal development road to go, what am I missing? You know, why isn't life more fun, even though, you know, I'm checking the boxes and I have all these accomplishments and the success? And it really kind of took me to this place of like, the relationship you have with yourself, right? Like loving your mornings, mastering your mindset, living within your values, all of these core principles that I think many, many achievers just kind of throw to the side to really hit that finish line. And it's why people kept ending up in this place of burnout, ending up of, you know, in this place of like, I don't even want to do this anymore, because it was like you're trading the good life for the reward, the achievement, the goals. And that just doesn't sit well after a while. So I really kind of changed my business model from coaching high achievers and brokers and financial advisors to just achieving and doing what you had to do, to going, let's do some of this, dare I say, softer work on your mindset, on finding who you are, on your confidence, your trust, all of that. Because what I have found is that it exponentially changes your success trajectory. Like it brings you so much joy that, you know, it's worth it for you, right? Just that quote you shared, like when it's worth it, you become more efficient. You do things differently. You show up differently. And that's the sweet spot there.
Yes. It's like, for me, for that is like, okay, I don't like how that works for me is, and I think I always subconsciously knew it, but I didn't know it in words. Mm-hmm. But it's very simple. It's like, I don't want to work on a deal that only makes, you know, so many dollars. I need to find an opportunity that makes more dollars. And if I can find that opportunity, I'm going to become interested in everybody involved in that opportunity and doing what's necessary to get it done. So that's what I found, rather than taking on, you know, small deals.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like what aligns with you the most, right? And at some point in time, probably those smaller deals aligned with, you know, you or most business owners, you know, and it's shifting and going, okay, well, that was kind of where I was at that point in time, but eventually you graduate. And it's natural to find more joy and fulfillment in the bigger deal, in the harder deal, the more challenging, something that's a little bit more worth it and to your level of expertise.
Right. So can you go over the morning mindset? Can you go over that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. This has been such a game changer for myself and my clients. What I realized after, you know, sitting with people for so many years and kind of getting into their heads and going, why is it they keep running into the obstacles? Why is it that they don't execute on what they want? Why aren't they feeling fulfilled? All of these pieces that I kept extracting from people. And the funny thing was, is that regardless of whether it was somebody starting a business, having a great business, or, you know, a $50 million CEO, the core challenges are all the same. They show up at different levels, but they're very, very similar. And so I took all those and I reverse engineered it. And I said, okay, if we get in front of these things before they actually happen, we are going to change our path. And that's why I created the Morning Mindset Journal. And it's a very simple process that I always say it takes like 10 minutes, but everybody evolves and uses more time with it eventually because they love it. But it's this process of going, how do I feel? You have to have some self-awareness. That is like the beginning of any type of opportunity or growth, is knowing and being self-aware of how you feel. How do I feel? What are you going to do about it? That shifts you into empowerment. And from a mindset perspective, tells yourself that you are not a victim, that you actually have choices to make that can change your mindset, change your day. And then we shift into, what do you actually want to create in your day? And this is really about setting your intentions. You know, are you in the driver's seat, or are you just this reactive pinball to what everything is that's going on around you? That's the majority of people. But when you set intentions, you're actually saying, this is what I'm going to create in my day, which creates the week, the month, the year, and so on. We then move into affirmations, because the mind is a powerful thing. If we keep telling it what we want it to believe, then it's going to start getting in alignment with that. We move into prayer, which actually gratitude next. We move into gratitude, which is another mindset shifter. People don't understand that when you view things from a different perspective, that is you taking control of your mind. It's natural to see something as bad. Oh, you got a flat tire. Oh, that's bad. But when you view it in a different light and you find gratitude, you're actually reshaping the way your mind sees obstacles, which is huge. Yeah. Prayer goes next. just about asking for what you want. It doesn't have to be a spiritual thing, can be, but it's putting it out there. Again, activating your reticular activating system on what do you want? What are you looking for? All goes into that. And then the final piece is wrapping up with visualization. You've got to be able to see what you want. If you don't see it, then what are you going for? And again, that's another piece of the mindset, because we're showing the mind, this is what we want. Now find it for us, you know, lead us in that direction. That wraps up that morning piece of it.
You're asking a lot. That's a lot.
Am I?
So
it feels like a lot.
It's a lot. It's like, okay, those are okay. You do, you know, there's obviously days you wake up and you're like, I feel like everybody's a little different. Like some days I just need to get up and I need to do something, right? Or I need to get up and then maybe go back to sleep. There's one thing in there that I wanted to add. There's a start doing and stop doing. Have you ever heard of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I recently heard that, like, and I thought that through my kids, because I guess, I know you're into self-awareness, right? And that's super important with life, right? So, and sometimes I can't be, and I'm self-aware enough to know maybe I'm not completely self-aware, right? You know, people just like zone out. I'm like, okay, but if I watch my kid, I can reflect in my own self-awareness. He's on his phone. What should he stop doing on your phone? You're just playing games on your phone. What should he start doing? Practicing something, right? Or reading, or being productive, right? So that's something. I don't know if you're familiar with Brian Kane. Have you ever heard of him before? He's a mental. He's under the radar. He's a sports mental performance coach, and that's something I've been thinking a lot about. But yeah, you do touch on self-awareness a lot. You touch on how do I feel, right? So yeah, we gotta slow down, figure out how you feel. You also had a lot of great guests on. I come through your podcast, Damon West, Emily Frisella, Ben Newman. Who is your favorite guest?
Oh, wow. That's putting me on the spot there.
Yeah. Well, you have different chemistry with, you know, some of them, you know, there's different chemistry.
Yeah, you know, there is. And I would say there's favorite people and favorite episodes. Randy Garn is, gosh, he's just one of the nicest people in the world and had such great information, and his episode was so good and genuine because it was really about connecting and forming relationships, which I think is approach a lot of people don't take. They always look at like what they can do and how they can move the needle themselves, but he really expands into relationships. He's awesome. Emily Frisella, she's just a gem. I mean, so much valuable information and has this genuineness of caring and wanting to help and support. So there's just so many great ones, but you can probably hear it in the episodes when
say about like building on relationships? What's his recommendation?
Gosh, he gave this tidbit that I just loved. He said, you know, one of the most transformative things that he did in his life when he sold one of his companies was somebody said, you should take time and think about the 25 people that you want to know and associate with and work with, you know, in some way, shape, or form. And so that's what he did. And he said it was life-changing, you know, of those 25 people that he sought out. Of course, they weren't like they were higher up. So it was a lot of work. Right. And he said some of them ended up being great. I think like 17 and some not so much. You figure out, oh, this isn't the person I thought it was. So he literally advises people to have a people strategy at the end of the year. He's like, most people go to create a business strategy. What are you going to do with your business? But I do a people strategy. Who are the next 25 people that I want to get to know and associate with and learn about? And it's a game changer. And when you think about it, yeah, you know, it's he says it's not who you know, it's who knows you. So you've got to be connecting. You've got to be forming these relationships if you really want to continue that trajectory up.
Right. So I agree with that. And I've been thinking, okay, I got to find maybe some mentors, right? Maybe if they don't even know that they're mentors to an extent. Who do you have mentors that have helped you shape your advice or your wisdom or your career?
Yeah, I mean, I have coaches. I had a book coach when I wrote my book. And then I have a regular kind of just personal development coach as well. But then, yeah, there's a whole slew of mentors. Ben Newman has been a light in my life. Ed Milet, I've also loved his work and how he shows up. Brené Brown.
These people are at the tippy top, right, of personal development. Are you? Yeah. So how do you get a hold of these people?
Oh gosh, no. Your mind went to the highest place possible. I'm talking about looking from the far. Ben Newman is a friend of mine. So I'll text him and he's a huge light and he's very approachable and he's awesome like that. But as far as mentor, who I'm looking out to and who I'm taking information in from, Ed Milet, Brené Brown, like those are people that I've looked at for a long time and that I've loved their work and their messaging.
What do you see? So do you coach a lot of individuals or business people or both? You have two categories?
Most all of my individuals are business owners. They come to me as an individual, right? They're like, I need some coaching. And then it ends up spilling over into their business. I coach a lot of solopreneurs. So people that are in the real estate, legal, financial advising space where, you know, they really are their own company. But most people that come to me from a personal perspective. And then we uncover what really needs to be worked on. And that often leads to their business.
So what are some common issues you see among high performers or some of these people?
The most common from a business perspective is people kind of hit a wall. They don't know how to scale their company correctly. They've started it and it's a great concept and they've done really well. And maybe they hit like that 5 to 10 million mark, but now they're stuck. They're burnt out. They're overwhelmed, they're overworked, and they've got people, but their people aren't necessarily engaged in the right things. So they've kind of just built their companies on like as needed in a very reactive way because all of a sudden their companies were successful. So they just started bringing people on, but they haven't delegated properly. They haven't, you know, formed that org chart the way it is. They haven't created their mission and their vision and their values to get these people on the same direction. So that's usually the obstacle. People come because they're like, it shouldn't be like this. Like, how do I keep going? And then we start to unpack everything and go, here's the work that needs to be done. So oftentimes I'm coming into their companies and we're reworking the org chart. We're figuring out the right roles, the things that need to go off of their plate so that they can get back some of that time freedom, get back into the visionary space where they're creating all the great ideas and the inspiration for their company.
Yes. Yes. I can see that for myself too.
Yeah. I see your mind turning.
Yeah, I just figure it out as I go, you know, which is, you know, a lot of people I'm sure do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so.
Most people do. I mean, you know, it's kind of like you don't really stop and go, wow, I should be doing this differently. If you're in the present moment, you just keep dealing with what comes to you. And so you overcome the obstacles. And sometimes it's like plugging a hole in the boat, right? And you do what needs to be done to fix that. Very few people set out and start their businesses with all of this structure and going, okay, well, this is how it's perfectly going to be run and how it's going to set up. It just doesn't really happen that way, unless maybe you've had a previous business before. And so now you've seen that and you decide to do it differently now. But you know, it's why there are coaches and mentors so that people can kind of regroup and figure out what needs to change.
I like how you mentioned a few minutes ago, an obstacle is really the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you mentioned.
Yeah.
I think that's like the key to life, right?
Yeah, I would agree. It's a huge mindset piece, but we're wired to just see obstacles as a bad thing, you know, right. Like, oh, we lost the job. We lost a client. We lost a deal. Our kid did this. Like, and as soon as we view that as a bad thing, we've just become a victim of it. And it creates our narrative for the world. But when you start And people give me crap for this sometimes where they're like, oh, really? You want me to be happy that, you know, I spilled coffee on myself? You want me to be happy that, you know, I didn't get that client? And it's like, yeah, find the gratitude for it. Because when you do, you are literally, it's cognitive reframing. You're literally teaching your brain how to do that process. So eventually you start seeing the gold in everything. And that, I mean, when you can have an opportunistic mind like that, that's what shifts that. That's what kind of like draws the line between the super ultra successful people and, you know, the successful people.
Well, I feel like you can also be whatever level of success and just be happy.
For sure. Right? Yes. Yeah.
Right. Don't, it doesn't need to, if you can channel this mindset, right? You don't like, I hope to be a super level, right? But I don't like, I hope to, and I'm doing, I know, but I also know like for example, this morning I live on a golf course and the ranger was like, you can't be walking these holes right now. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, golfers hit my backyard regularly. I don't throw them out of my backyard. Maybe I was nicely bantering back and forth with him.
Yeah.
I was like, got it. So I was like, okay, well, what holes should I walk and shouldn't I walk at certain hours? And what the reality is we had the interaction and a few minutes later, so I turned around, right? And the reality is I forgot I had to be somewhere. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hadn't turned around, it would have taken me, I wouldn't have been there. It was for like my kids, like Valentine's Day event. Right.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
I was like, that's why I got stopped. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And
yes.
I was like, and I didn't go off on, you know, I didn't go off on them because like, you know, I could have like all, you know, for whatever reason, I'm like, there's a reason for this. I just don't know why I could, but yep. I figured it out within 10 minutes.
That's good. So, that's really, really good.
Yeah. So I just managed it. And then I was like, I'm not going to go after him, but I'm going to take a few shots at him here and there and see what happens. Just kind of see how he reacts, body language and stuff like that, just for my own curiosity and mm-hmm. then kind of make an adjustment. But that was an obstacle or an adversity that I could have like blown up on. I was like, okay, we'll just go back. And then I was like, oh my God, I forgot I had to be here. So I feel like that's important in life. That I don't know what we call that. What do you call that? Like, is there a label on that?
It's cognitive reframing as far as like seeing things from a different perspective. You know what you did. I mean, you must have a good level of presence of like being in that present moment, because that's what usually becomes the obstacle for most people, is that they're not present enough to kind of like work through that situation, and they're very reactive and future oriented. So they miss that whole opportunity to go, okay, what am I supposed to be finding here? Like that takes a really high level of presence and self-awareness to be able to pause and do that. You know, a lot of people would be, you know, going off on the guy and then I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to prove my point and I'm going to walk, and then they miss the event. Right. And you're like, shot yourself in the foot. But
I had a tendency to do. It's being temperamental, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then it just, rather than believing, hey, it happens. It's like The Untethered Soul. Have you ever read that book?
Yes, absolutely. Michael Singer.
That kind of stuff. And it's hard to accept that mindset, but it helps keep me happy, even if I'm not at the level I necessarily want to be at, like that's extreme in my mind, you know?
Right. Yeah. I don't think your happiness is tied to that level. You know, when I said like it separates.
Well, it has,
you know,
like you were saying, you were in the business world and you were like, okay, it's so tied to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it is hard to disconnect that my happiness is tied to certain numbers sometimes, or so, yeah, to split the hairs of life and find happiness. And I don't know.
I got a fix for that.
What's that?
I have a fix for that.
What is it? What is it? The cognitive reframing, right?
Well, no, that's changing your perspective on things, but people often chase that achievement, the numbers, like you're saying, and it's about the why behind it. So you can actually chase that same achievement, but if you have it from a value-based position, like I'm chasing this because of these things that I value and because of your whys, it's a different level than if you're chasing it for, like for me, I'll use my own example. Back then when I was chasing things, it was to prove a point. It was to be recognized. It was to be the best. Like it was almost egocentric. It was a little like independent rant type of thing. So it was for the wrong reasons. And when you chase those numbers and you chase the goals for the wrong reasons, that is a very empty feeling. And you miss out on the joy. But if you find, here's why I'm chasing it, here's the values behind it, then you get to pack up all the joy and the goodness along with you to go down that journey. And it feels different.
What, you know, for me, I chase things because they feel impossible, right? Because I think it's impossible.
Yep.
So I wanted to, and then as I get older and I accomplish, okay, I hit this level. Whoa. Okay. How do I, what's next? Like that, those kinds of things, but I don't know where I'm going.
You're probably a challenger at heart, right? I've got that in me too. I love to compete. I'm obsessed with competing and winning, but there's nothing wrong with having that as one of your values. Like I know some people, like my sister will say, like, why does it always have to be about winning? Can't it just be fun? I'm like, winning is fun to me.
Well, at my level, winning is more fun than fun.
Yeah. And so everyone just has different values and characteristics and neither one is right or wrong, but that in itself is a good reason, right? I love a challenge. I'll do anything for a challenge.
So explain what the non-negotiable you, which I love, because it's like, it means what are your, kind of like Ray Dalio, like my principles, right? Like these are my principles that I've learned over the years and I need to write my own down, right? Or what are these items that, so I don't have to keep coming back to them and saying, remember, you know, okay, I'm not good with that, right? I just need to like write down the Saltman prince, you know, whatever my principle list. So this is your book. What is it? Mindset Mastery for Daily Success. I love it. What is that? Can you explain to the audience what that means? The non-negotiable. Absolutely.
It's a version that I birthed of myself when I was going through the transition. I wanted to create the success that I had. I had to look at the obstacles that were in my way and that were in the way of a lot of people. And that became like my non-negotiables, right? Mastering my mindset, getting in the driver's seat every day of my mind, non-negotiable. Letting go of what other people think and putting what my values are above that and choosing my goals and values first, non-negotiable, right? Self-trust, like living into my commitments with integrity, non-negotiable. So it's these little pieces that I found that if I was non-negotiable, if there was no room to deviate from that, it was always putting me on the right path. It didn't mean that it was easy. And yes, it was hard, but it just became this conversation that I had with myself where, you know, in the past I cared what people thought, right? And it was like, oh, should I say this? Should I do this? Are they going to like this? And now if something like that pops into my head, I'm like, hey, it's a non-negotiable. We don't have room for that. And it just, you know, puts me back on the right path. Getting up in the morning and starting my day with my morning mindset, it's a non-negotiable. You know, having this mind that does cognitive reframing, non-negotiable. So everyone has some of their own non-negotiables, but a lot of them are very universal. If you look at people who are fulfilled in life or they found the success that they want, a lot of these principles are the same and they live into them. What I just did was go, well, here they are. Here's how you understand them. But you can't just know them. You have to live them. And that's where I said, okay, here's your journal to do it. Because that journal takes you through every single one of those non-negotiables and helps you do it on a daily basis. Because just learning isn't going to do anything. We have to think a thought for roughly 65 days before it becomes a new thought and pushes out an old one. So rewiring our brain and our habits, it's work. So if you can sit down and do this every single day for 10 minutes, you are working towards rewiring those beliefs and, you know, your commitment with yourself?
Well, I would say I think it takes less days, but that's just from, I was reading The Power of Consistency by Weldon Long. That was, just finished it. Great book. Wait, hold on. I wanted to pick on you before I talk about that.
Ooh, okay. I love this challenge.
It obviously the title was negotiable though, of the book.
Yeah. It was. Yes. When I'm not in my lane, you know, it's my first book I wrote. And when you've got, I had my book coach, I had a marketing person, I had the publisher all going, I think you need a stronger name. I'm like, okay, let's talk about it. So yes, that was negotiable. Thanks for the call out.
I still like Morning Mindset better. I don't know. I wish you had named it that. I think
second version coming out, Morning Mindset.
I think it would have been even bigger. I'm not lying. But yeah, he says, I can't remember the specific thing. Some Navy SEALs or something like that. They make them wear these, or astronauts, they make them wear these glasses that invert their vision while they're in space or something like that. And when they take them off, their vision was inverted, right, for a certain period of time. But it took 20 to 30 days of them wearing these glasses for their brains to rewire to believe that their vision was inverted. I'd have to dig back. It was towards the end of the book. So that was interesting that the brain was rewiring itself to believe something new takes 20 to 30 days. I kind of agree with that. If I do something 20, 30 days in a row, I might fall off the wagon, but I might go back to it. I'd go back to it sooner. But
so, question on that, were they wearing the glasses nonstop?
I'd have to go back and scrub that. But I think that they wore it where it was inverted for a period of time. And then when they took them off, it was still inverted, but they had to wear it for 20 to 30 days for their vision to become inverted after they took the glasses off. So the neurochemistry or the neurons inside the brain changed the patterns within that time frame. So that's how they came up with this philosophy. It takes 20 to 30 days to change the chemistry in your brain to pick up a new habit, essentially. And a lot of people say they've been gimmicky, you know, it takes 21 days or 30 days. But sometimes that story was compelling for me, you know, that story.
Yeah.
But
and you know that the frequency in which we do something. So if somebody has a belief that they are not worthy, right, or they're not capable of doing something, and every single day they say, you know, I am capable, and they back that up with some action, they do something, then I think you have one process. Now, if we take somebody and we have them at every hour of the day, or even like four different intervals of the day, and say, I am capable, and then back that up with action, your brain is going to go through that process faster. So to your point, right, like the consistency of something and how often we repeat it is definitely going to have an impact on that. So it just depends on how fierce you are with your process.
Yeah. Building habits, right? Like with the gratitude. And it's so many things, like the start and stop list. It's so many.
Yeah.
It could be a lot of things for me. And I'm like, I got to write another thing down. I need to train my brain to remember these things. And then I forget. I'm like, oh, I need to go stand in the mirror again and say this to myself. So I don't wake up so cranky sometimes, you know?
Yep.
To kind of
helps.
What's that?
It all helps, you know, it all kind of pours in there. But yeah, it can be overwhelming with how many different things are out there, and you get a lot of voices telling you what's right.
Yeah. So what are you reading? What books do you like? What do you love? What do you recommend?
Ooh, one of my favorite books is The Power of Now.
Eckhart.
Game changer for me. Eckhart. He's awesome. Old book that I really, really love, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. I still direct people to that book. That's a great one. Love Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. Oh, 10X is easier than 2X. One of my most recent reads. Phenomenal book. Untethered Soul.
I challenge you. Non-mainstream. Non-mainstream.
Do you consider The War of Art non-mainstream?
Probably. Yeah. Pressfield's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, some people will know it, so it feels mainstream, but most people don't.
Most,
that's
yeah.
That's a great
most
book. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How to do it with the challenge.
We need more. You need time to think. You might need time to think. I'm always looking for new ideas, which is why I ask, you know.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you,
that's how I found you. You know, it's non-mainstream, right?
Right.
It's not,
yeah.
It's not like Brené or you know, some of those other, you know, those other, well, hopefully it gets there and it could, and it can, it has the content to do it. But
if I just change the name.
I think so.
I'm going to come back and be like, Andrew, thank gosh you told me to change that.
You're right on that, actually.
Here we are.
Morning Mindset. Boom. Number one on every list.
Number one.
I'm serious. How long has it been out? Has it been out a while?
June will be a year.
Okay. So second year. Months? Let's do like a, yeah. Change the name
do
in the second year.
Revised version.
What's that?
We'll do a revised version, change the name, you know, add some new things to it.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right. Well, let me see here. What else we got? What else we got? You're in Orange County, right?
I'm in Orange County. Yes. I have a major event coming up. That's going to be so good. So exciting. Yeah. It's my first really big event. I've got Ben Newman speaking, Jen Gottlieb, Randy Garn, Damon West. So we've got the five of us that are taking the stage. It's going to be awesome. So that's really fun and exciting. That's kind of gotten all my attention right now.
For sure. How many people are you expecting?
Like 400.
Okay. I saw Damon West in Nashville.
Oh, did you?
Speak.
Yeah, what do you think?
He's out of, off the charts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's
really, really great.
Yeah. He's at a different, yeah, his, he's, I don't know how to explain it, but.
His story is just, story is just amazing. And gosh, what a down to earth, like, just great guy. I mean, talk about the epitome of like gratitude and, you know, for having what he has now. And it is just amazing. I mean, for somebody to be in that environment and to make such drastic changes and to overcome that, that's just crazy. I mean, the odds are against you. Come on. The people are against you. So I just think his story is amazing. And now he's like one of the most sought after speakers. He's on more stages than I think anybody else out there right now. He's on the road probably like over 250 times a year. And he's just neat. I mean, he's just a beacon of light. He's got so many great pieces around mindset, you know, that he had to shift his mind there. He had to if he was going to get out of the situation that he was in. And so those are real life mindset changes right there.
Right. Remind me of, it's the coffee bean, right? It's
the coffee bean.
Can you explain his concept?
Yeah, his concept is, well, I mean, you know, he was sentenced to prison for life and wasn't supposed to be out. And right before he started his sentence, he met somebody that told him the story of like, you know, people are either going to break you or they're going to harden you, or you can, you know, infuse them and change them. And so either one, you're a carrot, I think, and you get squished by people, or you become a hard-boiled egg in the water and you turn hard, or you become a coffee bean and you change the water. And that's kind of what he went in there as, and that was his mission. And I mean, he got kicked around a whole lot before that ever came in, but like his whole story is like he kept constantly having people talk about seeing things the right way in his space that would give him a different perspective and would keep him going. And he became that coffee bean in prison and literally has started. He doesn't even really talk about this much because usually he's out talking about how to create change for people here, but literally created a program within the system to now people can go through that. They can graduate and they have inmates that are just waiting to be the next ones in line to take his program and to understand those concepts and to start to be a coffee bean. So it's just wild.
Yes, I like that. I like that because I have a friend and he would always say, oh, I do business with him. He goes, I'm going to take his temperature, right?
Like, yeah.
I'm going to take the client's temperature. And I was like, well, okay, well, why don't you just create his temperature was my thought. Like, why don't you, right? And then I saw Damon West. That's his name, right? Damon. I always think Damon John, right? But and he's like,
I was just at an event with him.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah, I spoke in Nashville with him. Yeah, but go ahead. Sorry, Damon. I was getting their names mixed up.
See, Angie Wisdom's going to the top fast. These women,
from your lips to his ears, right?
It's true. It's true. I do want to pick on you one again.
I'm ready for it.
Is Wisdom your last name?
It is. Yeah,
it is.
I mean, I'm married to get it. So, you know, I married someone 26 years ago for it, but yes, it is.
What's the maiden name?
Burgess.
Burgess.
English. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't quite have the same ring, does it?
I don't know. It doesesn't. But, what were we talking about?
You're talking about Damon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your buddy.
Temperature, right? And then I saw Damon West. I go, you know, I'm like, why? And I didn't know how to phrase it. That's always my problem. I don't know how to label things. You know, that's the big thing in life, labeling things. Right? Just because you can dumb it down to one or two words rather than just get confused. And I say it like brevity is the soul of wit, right? Who said that? Is that Shakespeare or something like that? I'm always looking for that. But
yes,
you know, what's that?
Be a coffee bean, right? That's his
name. Be a coffee bean, yeah. So instead of take his temperature to see how he feels, be the one who creates the aroma or the...
Yeah, changes the water that the people sit in, right? I mean, you affect them.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Damon John, so did you get to spend time with him? Because he seemed
weird. I didn't.
No.
I didn't actually. We were just in the lineup together. So I had a pretty cool picture as far as all of us in the lineup. But he was a great speaker. I was at a conference, an STR conference, short-term rental. Short-term rental. So
Airbnb.
It was a phenomenal conference. I was really impressed with what they put on there and the people that they had. I mean, I think they had like 3,000 people there.
Oh, wow.
It was a great event, but he was the headliner, the keynote on it. That was good.
Who else was there?
Bill Faith, he runs it with Michael. God, I'm drawing a blank on his name, the Airbnb guy.
Isn't his name the Airbnb guy? That's his nickname, right? Like the Airbnb.
That's his nickname on Instagram. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm drawing a blank on his last name, but they were the host and that was my first time meeting them and they were absolutely amazing and gracious. And, I didn't know a lot of the other speakers came from different areas of that industry, whether it was an attorney, a tax person or something like that. Decorators. So it was all very industry specific. I was definitely the black sheep that was in there from just a mindset perspective. You know, they wanted to bring in somebody that was a coach of like, how do you get your mind right to do this? All these people are wanting to leave their job. They're wanting to build wealth through rentals and there's risk, right? And this is uncharted territory for them. So how do you get your mind in the right place to do that and make the right choices to do that?
Well, read Angie's book, right? That's how you do it.
There you go. Yeah.
Read Angie's book. Contact her. Hire her for coaching.
AKA the morning mindset.
Or the morning mindset. Or contact me. I don't know my pricing. I don't know. It's as high as possible. But all right, Angie, thank you so much.
Yeah, it was great being here. Thanks for having me on the podcast, Andrew.
All right. Take care.
Take care.